Let me take you to that meeting at the UN in Geneva, where UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is speaking about the situation in Afghanistan.
We have 33 international and regional organizations and 22 international NGOs. It is a level of participation that shows how much this is a crucial issue at the present moment for the international community. Second, it fully met my expectations because there was a unanimous support to the recognition that this is the moment to mobilize the international community to provide effective humanitarian assistance to the Afghan people in a moment in which the Afghan people is suffering a dramatic humanitarian situation. And not only this was recognized by all the interventions, but also the idea that that humanitarian aid needs to be provided safely, needs to be provided in full respect of the humanitarian principles, impartiality, neutrality, independence, needs-based, and at the same time, with a particular concern in relation to the participation of women and girls and the rights of women and girls in the context of the program of support and assistance to the Afghan people. And third, because there was an extremely meaningful announcement of new commitments, new financial commitments. It is not possible to give you a figure about what was the amount, not all have spoken, and what was the amount specifically for the flash appeal. But considering the flash appeal, considering support to neighboring countries and other programs that several countries mentioned, today we already heard clearly more than $1 billion of pledges. It is impossible, as I said, to say how much of this will be for the flash appeal. But in any case, it represents a quantum leap in relation to the financial commitment of the international community towards the Afghan people. But this conference is not an isolated act. This conference is part of a clear strategy of the United Nations to respond to the crisis in Afghanistan, and in particular to assume leadership in relation to humanitarian assistance. I have to say that when I saw the tragic events that we all witnessed, the mass exodus, the chaos at the airport, the situation of panic that was shown in all televisions around the world, even the pressure for many of our staff, because they were seeing everybody leaving and expressing their own concerns, I decided that the UN should stay and deliver with all the difficulties and all the unpredictable aspects of the future. The UN should stay and deliver, and that the UN should use its traditional presence in Afghanistan. We are there since 1947. And we were there in all moments, even during the other Taliban regime, that UN should use its traditional presence in Afghanistan and its added value in humanitarian assistance to make humanitarian assistance the main vector of our intervention at the present moment. And to do so, we organize the program of actions that we are implementing at the present moment. First, it's impossible to provide humanitarian assistance inside Afghanistan without engaging with the de facto authorities of the country. And I do believe that it is very important to engage with the Taliban at the present moment for all aspects that concern the international community, be it about terrorism, be it about human rights, be it about drugs, be it about the nature of the government. So our attitude is to engage. And so Martin Griffiths went to Kabul. If we consider that an Undersecretary General is, in protocol terms, equivalent to a minister, it was the first visit to Kabul to meet the Taliban leadership at that level. And he went there clearly to establish the conditions for effective humanitarian assistance by the UN in Afghanistan, and for the guarantee that this could be done with the full cooperation of the Taliban and with them taking fully into concern our own concerns. It is important to say that Martin Griffiths, beyond the discussions he had, received a letter in which, together with another received today, in which the Taliban have committed not only to guarantee our access to the whole of the territory, but also to provide security to UN convoys reaching insecure areas. And so our main concern with the security of our staff was taken into account. And they made some encouraging statements that they wrote in relation to the important questions for us, that are the participation of women in work in general and in humanitarian work in particular, and the right of girls for all areas, all levels of education, not to mention a number of others that are related naturally to the safety of our staff, to the guarantee that our premises would be protected, and another group of questions that are important. Obviously, these commitments are commitments made. We will now have to see what happens on the ground. We know the situation is very complex. We know that in different parts of Afghanistan there are different approaches to the most distinct areas. And we are, of course, very much concerned in making sure that humanitarian assistance is an entry point for an effective engagement with the Taliban in all other aspects of concern of the international community. I was also very happy to see that the whole UN family came together. The whole UN family came together in the preparation of our flash appeal, came together in assuming exactly the same strategy in relation to Afghanistan. Today, Filippo Grandi is in Kabul. Several other agencies will be going to Kabul to make sure that in their specific areas we implement the different aspects that we have discussed in the visit of Martin Griffiths. And so there is a strong commitment of the UN to deliver humanitarian assistance to the people of Afghanistan, but at the same time to fully engage with the Taliban in relation to all the matters of concern that I have expressed several times. But there is another observation I would like to make. Humanitarian aid will not solve the problem if the economy of Afghanistan collapses. And we know that the risk is enormous and that there is a dramatic lack of cash. We cannot even operate if the banks are not operating, even to pay the salaries to our staff. So, knowing that there are a number of complex questions in relation to this, knowing that different institutions have different obligations according to distinct aspects coming from past resolutions and things of the sort, but my appeal to the international community is to find ways to allow for an injection of cash in the Afghan economy, allowing the economy to breathe and avoiding a collapse that would have devastating consequences for the people of Afghanistan and possibly would trigger a massive exodus with the consequences that you can imagine in relation to the stability of the countries of the region. So understanding all the problems and all the questions that many countries and institutions have raised, my appeal is for mechanisms to be found to make sure that we don't let the economy of Afghanistan collapse.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary General. We now have time for some questions. And it's first of all, I just want to say it's very great to see my friends here from the UN correspondents here based in Geneva. And let's see who the first question could go to from Geneva. ATS, RTS? Laurence, nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Secretary General. There have been some warnings on conditional humanitarianism, for instance, by the ICRC president, Peter Maurer. And we could also hear from stakeholders within the UN system similar concerns in the recent weeks, for instance, WHO. Are you reassured about that after that conference today? And there have been also some calls for more inclusive humanitarian aid. And this morning, the High Commissioner for Human Rights has said that there have been some attacks against Afghan NGOs. How will the UN be able to be sure that the humanitarian aid will be inclusive now in Afghanistan? Thank you.
Well, that commitment was made. But I have to say that what Peter Maurer said today has my full support. Humanitarian aid abides by humanitarian principles. Humanitarian aid doesn't abide by political strategies. And in my opinion, if we want to protect the human rights of the people of Afghanistan, the best way is to move on with humanitarian aid and engage the Taliban and take profit of that humanitarian aid to push for those rights to be implemented. Let's have no illusion. We are not trying to transform Afghanistan into Sweden or Switzerland. But we know that there are a number of basic rights that is essential to implement, and they are in the center of our engagement with the Taliban. So I don't think that if the de facto authorities of a country misbehave, the solution is to do a collective punishment to their people. I think we need to have a clear perspective of the primacy of the humanitarian principles, at the same time as a total determination to use them as a factor of engagement to make sure that the commitments that were made will be respected. Having said so, I think that we have today in Afghanistan, in concrete terms, different situations in different areas. And of course, we have in several areas very dramatic violations of human rights. You have in others a more secure and normal situation. But as you can imagine, what is news is not when a dog bites a man. What is news is when a man bites a dog. And so obviously any incident, any problem gets much more attention than the things that are running a little bit better. So not discounting that we face still very serious problems of human rights and being fully in solidarity with what today was affirmed by the High Commissioner for Human Rights, I think it's important to launch a strong program of humanitarian aid and to use it as a leverage in order to, engaging with the Taliban, make the human rights dossiers move forward.
Thank you very much. From NHK, we have Shoko Koyama.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. Shoko Koyama from NHK, Japanese Public TV. You just said more than $1 billion US dollars were raised, but can we know the specific amount of the specific amount by the end of the day? Thank you.
It's impossible. We still have more people to talk than those that have talked, so it's impossible. And as I said, this was not a pledging conference. This was an event, a high-level event, to mobilize solidarity to Afghanistan. And we launched a flash appeal to support it. But many of the interventions referred specifically to the flash appeal, And many referred to support to countries of the region, which is part of an appeal that was launched by UNHCR just a few days ago. And many referred to other aspects of their support to Afghanistan. So if we take what was said until now, more than 1.1 billion pledges were made, but I cannot tell you the exact number that corresponds to the flash appeal in itself. But of course, all the money is needed for all the purposes.
Thank you very much. Agence France-Presse, Christophe.
Thank you for taking my question. Secretary General, you were talking about the importance to talk with the Taliban and to engage with them. Would you be ready to go to Kabul, and under what condition and when?
This is something to decide at the right moment when the right conditions are met.
Next question. Al Arabiya.
Thank you. Secretary General, thank you. Did the UN receive written assurances from Taliban that aid agencies and their partners would be able to operate freely in Afghanistan and have complete control of their operations? Thank you.
The answer is yes. In the letter that we received, two documents. One was guaranteeing the full humanitarian work of the UN and the respect by the Taliban to that full humanitarian work. And the second, they are available to provide security, to provide even escorts when there are situations of insecurity that would justify it. So not only there is an attitude of acceptance, but there is an attitude of support. That was what was written.
Thank you.
I believe we will be circulating, if you haven't already received it, Martin Griffiths' statement to the conference, in which the very key excerpts from that letter are outlined, and you can refer to that directly.
But it's also important to underline that in that letter, Taliban also made appeals to the international community to support Afghanistan in different other aspects in relation to development, in relation to drugs, in relation to questions of security. There is a clear interest of the Taliban also to engage with the international community. And I think this is what gives also the international community some leverage. It is relevant to say that, the Taliban considered that it would be important to address also the international community through this conference.
Thank you.
Let me now read a question to us from the Tolo News Agency of Afghanistan, and this is from Haider Shah Omid, who is in Kabul. He was unable to tune in today, but we appreciate him very much for sending us two questions to you, Secretary General. Is the Taliban government a deterrent or a facilitator to your operation in raising funds and delivering humanitarian support in Afghanistan? I'll let you answer that, and then I'll ask the follow-up.
As I said, the visit that Martin Griffiths paid to Kabul was very useful, and I believe it has helped to create the conditions for cooperation in humanitarian assistance.
Okay. And follow up, there are reports that currently people were deprived from accessing food and other basic needs. However, the Taliban rejects these allegations. How are you going to make sure people in need in every corner of the country will equally access the assistance you provide? Do you trust the Taliban?
By being there, by going everywhere, and by engaging with the Taliban to make it possible.
Bays from Al Jazeera.
Thank you very much. Secretary General, how serious now is the possibility of a complete economic collapse in Afghanistan?
It is serious. The financial system, for the present moment, is extremely limited in its capacity, which means that a number of basic economic functions cannot be delivered. And of course, for people, they had, as you know, the possibility to get a limited amount of cash, but with enormous difficulties. We are having also enormous difficulties. And I mean, an economy doesn't work without the blood. And the blood of the economy is cash. I mean, so, as I said, I think it is important to avoid the collapse of the economy, and I think the international community needs to find the ways to do it without violating international rules and norms. And there are situations in the past where similar things were dealt with.
You're watching Al Jazeera. We're bringing you live coverage of a press conference being given by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres following a meeting by the UN to discuss the situation in Afghanistan. Secretary General Guterres there just responding to a question by Al Jazeera's James Bays with regards to the serious risk to Afghanistan's economy. Secretary General saying that it is very serious, and saying that he had was hoping that the international community would put in place structures to ensure that the economy of Afghanistan did not collapse. Earlier on, he said it was important to allow the economy to breathe. He said earlier that my appeal to the international community is to find ways to allow an injection of cash into the economy of Afghanistan. Now, earlier on in that press conference, he also referred to, on a couple of occasions, commitments that have been given by the Taliban to the UN with regard to giving access to the whole of the country, he said, to all areas, and also to give security where necessary to UN convoys to unstable areas. It had also, he said, made some encouraging statements about the rights of women.